It is Friday, May 3rd, 2013. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. And KUAF is proud to co-sponsor Walton Arts Center's Artisphere, Arkansas's Arts and Nature Festival, running May through June. Events include the Thorn Crown Chapel Concert with banjoist Jamie Stone and his band, Room of Wonders, on Monday, May 6th, plus Spiral Wetland, the Lake Fayetteville Art Installation, and more. More information at artisphearfestival.org.
New numbers out yesterday show a higher-than-forecast amount of state revenue collected for the month of April. The data shows an uptick in the amount of individual income tax collections, which helped drive net available revenues nearly $80 million higher than for the same period last year. State economist John Shelnut says the increase, largely the result of higher federal tax rates, was also higher than expected.
Some of the gain was due to expedited processing compared to last year, but the majority of the gain is from tax shifting to avoid higher federal tax rates that started January 1.
Shelnut says although income tax collections are higher, there has been a noticeable decrease in state sales tax revenues, which he says is a cause for concern. So far this year, state revenues total about $4 billion, which is nearly $164 million above forecast.
Officials at the Arkansas Department of Human Services are moving forward with plans to offer federal Medicaid dollars to low-income residents so they can purchase health coverage on state insurance exchanges. John Selig, director of the agency, says while his staff implements the law, they will work closely with legislators in the future to tackle any problems it may present.
There are some formal processes where when we have an amendment ready to go to our Medicaid plan, we bring it to the Public Health Committee and the Rules and Regs Committee and Legislative Council. So those processes are in place, but they've also made it clear, and we're interested in having informal discussions. As we've said to the public health chairs, whenever you as a group or individuals have questions, want to talk about things, have ideas, we're ready to talk about it.
Selig also says the private option will make mental health services more easily available for those entering the state insurance exchanges.
U.S. House Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi is defending passage of the federal health care overhaul. She made the comments yesterday during a visit to Arkansas. Pelosi spoke in Little Rock yesterday at an event organized by the University of Arkansas Clinton School of Public Service. She also discussed former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton.
I pray that Hillary Clinton decides to run for president of the United States.
Congresswoman Pelosi clarified she doesn't know if Clinton will run, just that she hopes she will. She also praised the passage of the Affordable Care Act as a momentous achievement. But the federal health care law has faced opposition here in Arkansas, where Republicans now control the state legislature for the first time in more than a century.
Results are in from last week's Prescription Drug Take-Back Day. 122 law enforcement agencies across the state collected more than 9 tons of unwanted and expired prescription drugs for the 6th annual initiative. The Take-Back Day, organized by the Drug Enforcement Agency, took back a record 18,764 pounds of medications, or an estimated 26.1 million pills. According to a release by the Arkansas Department of Human Services, the state has collected more than 33 tons of unneeded medications through the 6 take-back events held so far.
The final spring bulky waste cleanup in Fayetteville is scheduled for tomorrow. The cleanup is intended for bulky items that won't normally fit inside a normal trash cart. Drop-off points will be located at Woodland Junior High School on Poplar Street and at the Church of Christ on Center Street. Fayetteville residents are asked to bring a recent water bill to verify that they live within the city limits. Items not accepted include hazardous waste chemicals, yard waste, household garbage, and commercial garbage. In addition, e-waste is no longer accepted by the city, and only one Freon-containing appliance will be accepted for free at either drop-off site.
The head of the Northwest Arkansas Naturals organization is leaving. Eric Edelstein, who has served as the team's general manager since relocating to Springdale, has accepted a job with the Reno, Nevada Aces, a AAA affiliate of the Arizona Diamondbacks. With Edelstein transitioning out of his role as GM of the Naturals, Justin Cole, currently the Nats' assistant GM and director of sales, will act as general manager for the rest of this season. And the Nats did not get a chance last night to take the field against the Springfield Cardinals. The game postponed because of weather. It will be made up as part of a doubleheader on June 13th.
For the first time since the event began, tonight's first Friday event in downtown Bentonville has been canceled on account of nasty weather. And it's official. Last night's and this morning's snowfall was the first measurable snow in May for Arkansas. According to the National Weather Service in Tulsa, the latest measurable snow in Fayetteville was on April 12, 1957, prior to the winter-spring weather of the past 24 hours. But also, according to the National Weather Service, the snow may not be over for Northwest Arkansas.
The record may last all of one day.
I can't. Okay. Tonight, a chance of rain in the Arkansas River Valley and a 50% chance of snow after midnight in Northwest Arkansas. Yes, snow. Lows from 36 to 32. Tomorrow, a 50% chance of rain and highs from 51 in Northwest Arkansas to 55 in the Arkansas River Valley. Tomorrow night, a 30% chance of rain with lows from 38 in Northwest Arkansas to 42 in the Arkansas River Valley.
It is Friday, May 3rd, 2013. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kelms. With me on the phone from his office in Fort Smith is Michael Tilley, the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com. How are you on this chilliest of May mornings?
Yeah, are you sure that it's May 3rd?
Not. I actually woke up to the sound of sleet on the windows at just before 2 o'clock this morning. And then when I woke back up around 5:30 or so and saw snow falling, I have to admit, it was quite a novelty.
Yeah, I mean, did we wake up in an episode of Lost?
Or the final episode of St. Elsewhere.
Yeah, right.
state finance figures have come out this week, and there looks like there could be a surplus.
Could be a surplus of $137 million, and that's a lot of money, but it's a little bit less than the surplus in 2012. But, you know, that's what the state finance officials, or state officials from the Arkansas Department of Finance Administration say, which is, I mean, that's a good number. It'd be nice. It's always nice to have an estimated surplus, but that was followed a couple days later with an April report that showed a little bit of a dip in some core collections. Overall, the numbers are still up. We're still up almost 2.5% for the year, but it showed a little bit of concern on the consumer spending level. The sales and use tax funds were down considerably, and they're down considerably over estimate. So while the income tax proceeds are up, and of course April and May, we'll see some bumps for that. It's a little bit concerning to see that dip so far in the sales and use tax. I mean, that's a direct reflection of consumer spending.
This is why I like talking to someone who has more business sense than I possess, because when I saw it, I did see that there was still expected growth in the state for the coming year.
Yes. Well, I mean, there is growth. I mean,
okay.
Those are the two largest sources of revenue for Arkansas, are individual income tax collections and sales and use tax collections. I mean, by far, out of the roughly $6 billion in revenue we get, those account probably for 40% each, roughly. So you have half of the collection numbers looking very good. You have the other half of that a little bit. I mean, for example, sales and use tax collections are up just 0.3%. They're 1.8% below forecast. And we have the economist for the state, John Shelnut, essentially saying, you know, slow job and income growth and what he calls the diversion effect on taxable sales from higher fuel costs have hit consumers. So hopefully, I mean, it bears watching. It's 1 month. It's not a trend. But
right,
let's hope the next few reports don't reflect that continued decline in the sales and use tax collections.
Well, if the weather in our part of the world can change dramatically, so can the state of construction in the area. Kim Souza has a report on thecitywire.com right now how local construction is going back up, especially in Northwest Arkansas.
Right. You know, it's interesting. It seems like just a few months ago, we were, you know, nobody was building houses, and it was a bad deal, and now all of a sudden we're kind of back in that 2006-2007 time frame where residential, especially residential construction, is higher. And the March number showed a 9% increase in the number of employed in the sector, about 700 more workers. That's a lot of people employed in that metro area, a lot more people employed, I should say. But the other thing it's doing, it's kind of a good news, bad news, as we talked earlier. Good news is more people are back at work, there's more activity. But for the consumer, for the buyer, those home prices are increasing. And the biggest reason is that there's an estimated 4% increase in material costs. And some of these, especially on these custom homes that are being built, it's taken a long time. It is taking a long time to get products in because a lot of these building product companies, you know, said, we're not going to build up inventory. We're not going to have a lot in inventory. So if you want a specialty garage door or specialty this, it may take you several months to get that from order to completed to delivered. But I don't think anyone, though, is complaining in Northwest Arkansas too much. I mean, it is a healthy return. The one area where it bears watching, Kyle, is just, we've been burnt before in Northwest Arkansas. It got overheated.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see what the banking community, especially, what they do to try to learn manage the loans through lessons learned.
Well, that's what's going to be my next question, is how difficult is it to have a long view when it comes to a subject like construction trends?
Well, with some banks in Northwest Arkansas, it's not going to be difficult to have a long view because they're still working through bad loans, and some are even still under consent orders with the federal and state agencies. So they're going to have to be careful in what they loan. There's the RVEST Skyline report, and there's some other reports, and the banks have their own look at what's happening in subdivisions. I suspect the bankers, there's a little bit of a mix between, yay, the market's returned, and okay, let's manage it a little better this time.
You know, I don't live in Fort Smith. I'm there often, and so I have perhaps a different view of some things than people who are natives or longtime residents of Fort Smith. One of my favorite landmarks in Fort Smith has always been the Garrison Street Bridge, I guess because it goes across the Arkansas River and connects one state to another. But there are plans to help it look better?
Well, Phil White, one member of the Central Business Improvement District here in Fort Smith, he thinks the bridge is ugly, and that's the word he used. That's not the word I used, but... And so he's trying to get the Arkansas Highway and Transportation Department and OG&E to work on a plan to install some period light fixtures, maybe do some other things, paint the railing on the bridge and dress it up, some cosmetic work. But I'm like you, Kyle. I especially love coming over the bridge from Oklahoma into Arkansas. It's a great view coming into downtown Fort Smith, especially with the statue now of Bass Reeves and the Pendergraph Park there. I've been here a little over 20 years, and there have been major improvements in downtown Fort Smith. I know some people will talk about when's downtown ever going to get going, or when's it going to improve. If they were here 15 years ago, they wouldn't say that. They would be probably grateful for the progress, although there's more progress to be made. And that's, I guess, where we bring Phil White back into it. He wants to dress it up.
Well, and again, I think perspectives can be different if you're doing something for the people who see it every day and the people who may be coming into Fort Smith as a tourist for the first time.
Right. And, I think that's his case. If you've got some period lighting, the old light fixtures that are maybe down the middle of the bridge. And there was even talk at one time about some special, LED lights maybe underneath the bridge that kind of made it look like it glows. So, I don't know how extensive they'll get.
All right. Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com. Michael, stay warm. I think by Sunday afternoon you won't have a problem.
Okay. Well, if it's 2 days out, I quit guessing anymore what it'll do.
You're a wise man. Thanks, Michael.
All right. Talk to you later.
On this week's Generic Blues Show, we talk to Jerry Moss. He tells us what happens when the Red Barn Ramblers get together. In short, they have a lot of fun. They are playing again Saturday, May 11th, in Fayetteville. All proceeds go to the Fayetteville Public Education Foundation. Hear all about it this Friday night at 9 o'clock on the Generic Blues Show. We'll see you then.
The grounds of Churchill Downs will be alive with a sea of spectators and stables full of horses tomorrow for the annual running of the Kentucky Derby. If you can't make the trip to Louisville this year to take part in the revelry of this larger-than-life event, perhaps you might be interested in attending a smaller, local event this weekend. Tomorrow, the nonprofit organization Equestrian Bridges will be hosting its inaugural Mini Derby at Jasper Springs Stables in Fayetteville. One of the highlights of this new fundraiser is a series of miniature horse races in the afternoon. Although the organization has been around for some time, it is new to the Fayetteville area. Executive Director Shanna Dozier says the group was started by a couple who owned stables in Siloam Springs. Shanna says when the owners saw amazing changes in some of the border's autistic children when they interacted with horses, they decided to create Equestrian Bridges. Shanna explains that volunteers who work with autistic children in the program undergo a two-hour training course.
We follow PATH, which is a therapeutic riding organization, and does actual therapeutic riding techniques here. So that's, we always follow PATH regulations. A lot of our volunteers are licensed therapists. So we have a lot of licensed therapists and interns that are from the U of A and from John Brown University that come and volunteer and get their internships here.
Children enrolled in sessions are involved in group therapy. The organization has four miniature horses that the children work with and one 27-year-old mare named Ladybug they can ride. Marissa Ledoux is a volunteer and advocate for Equestrian Bridges.
They start off, it's more of learning social skills, ground manners, things like that, like, you know, learning how to say whoa and walk on. It's amazing how a kid that will have never said a word before, after a few sessions, will come up to the horse and start walking and say whoa, you know, and that's their first word that they've ever said. But for some reason, with the horses and the kids with the autism, there's just a connection there.
Mm-hmm. And there's not a lot of social skills programs in the area that really does group therapy with children with autism, and that's one thing that's really what we do, and a lot of parents want that because the social aspect of autism is really something that they strive to work on. A lot of kids want to do parallel play, don't want to play with others, but when we involve horses, that kind of opens the door to, oh, I want to work with this team, I want to work with this other child, because we have a common goal to do a game or something with a horse.
Executive Director Shanna Dozier says there are currently 24 children enrolled in sessions with Equestrian Bridges, but there's a waiting list of 25. She says participating in the program costs about $350 per child. Shanna says because therapy can be expensive for parents with autistic children, they try to keep prices really low. Parents are only charged $50 for a six-week group session, and the nonprofit group turns to the community to raise the other $300.
Unfortunately, horses are not a cheap animal.
Not
so
by any means.
This is an expensive therapy, but we feel like every kid should have the opportunity to do it. So.
And it's unique, and it's fun, and it's hands-on for them, you know, where a lot of times some therapies, you know, you just kind of, you know, to them might be a little boring. We're here, mm-hmm. It's, you know, they're interacting, and they're getting out, and they get to see horses and, you know, do fun things, so.
It's something that their siblings are kind of jealous of.
Yes.
You know, it's not like their brother or sister's going to therapy. It's like, well, I'd like to do that too, you know, and so that's one thing that we've heard from parents is that, you know, their siblings have baseball or football or something like that, and this is something that they have, that they feel proud of.
Tomorrow's event will feature pony rides, live music from Back Road Anthem, and of course, miniature horse races. Shanna says the horses participating in the races are not their therapy horses, but other horses from an outside company. She says they've worked hard on creating a unique event, and volunteer Marissa Ledoux says it's one that guests will enjoy attending.
It is a busy weekend, but I mean, this is going to a great cause. I mean, you're helping kids, and you're helping families, and you're helping everyone when you're doing that. So I think this is going to be an absolutely fun event. You'll be sorry you missed it if you don't come.
Equestrian Bridges inaugural mini derby is scheduled from 3 to 7 tomorrow afternoon at Jasper Springs Stables in Fayetteville. Tickets are $10 in advance and $20 at the door, and tickets include food and drinks. Admission is free for children 12 and younger. Tickets and more information are available online at equestrianbridges.org.
Come on. Come on.
The Idle Class magazine began as a blog on Tumblr. It's since become a print publication. The first physical issue came out this winter. The Idle Class primarily pays attention to the arts in Arkansas. The latest issue that comes out this weekend dedicates much of its space to fashion. Recently, Ozarks at Large's Katie Hendrickson talked with the Idle Class founder, Cody Ford, and its managing editor, Andrew McCain, about the magazine.
My name is Cody Ford, and I am the editor. I founded the Idle Class back in 2011, started as a blog on Tumblr. And since then, we launched our website last year and then launched our print edition first of this year, winter 2013.
I'm Andrew McClain. I was brought on as managing editor. I started writing for the website back in 2011 when it launched, and I edit contributions to the magazine and do some writing myself.
Andrew is my first writer that I ever had. When we were still a blog, actually, Andrew came on board.
And let's talk just a very basic question. Why did you start Idle Class?
Well, I've lived in Fayetteville, I've lived in Little Rock and Conway, and there's all these really great artistic scenes there, but none of them really connected. Now, Central Arkansas, there's some cohesion there, and then, of course, you know, Northwest Arkansas, it's very Fayetteville-centric, but Bentonville is doing a lot now, which is pretty impressive, but nobody tied them together. So I would kind of go back and forth, and no one, you know, I would be talking about something going on in Fayetteville, and a lot of times people didn't know, or, up, you know, people didn't know up here what's going on in Little Rock, and so I was just like, well, let's do something that connects everybody, because all these different publications touch the arts, but none of them showcase it. So it's like, well, let's just do something to cover the state. So that's where the Idle Class came from.
Andrew, what brought you, what made you interested in becoming part of the Idle Class?
Well, I'm actually still a student at UCA, and I'm a major in print journalism. And so the opportunity just presented itself, and I was more than happy to get involved.
So it's a magazine for the arts, which, you know, it is still, that's still a very broad topic. It can cover a lot of different things. So how do you decide what you're going to cover?
So one of the things that we look for when putting together an issue, like this first issue is our 2013 music preview. So that's kind of the emphasis. And then we've had other stories about like the UCA Writers MFA. We had a really great artist, Vincent Griffin, who's also in a really good band called Bear Colony. People should check out. But Vince is a graphic designer, and he also does this really cool collage work. So that was that issue. The new issue is going to be kind of our spring fashion-oriented issue. We're talking like Leslie Pennell, who does Esque. Chris Hess from Little Rock, who has Hess Clothing, they're going to be in it. And then a few others like Grey Dog Vintage here in town, they're actually about to launch a clothing line. So I think we're going to talk to them about that as well. So just kind of bringing all that together, but that's not the sole focus of the issue. We are going to have artists and musicians, and you know, I always want to have poetry and have literature in there. And to be honest, that's why I started the Idle Class, was I would go and I would pick up copies of the journals, these literary journals. And I was like, well, I'm not really that big on what's in here. It's not really my thing. And I think about how Esquire and all those guys used to have fiction all the time. I was like, well, let's try and get literature in here too. So I was like, well, I want to do this literature magazine, but I want people to read it, so I need to bring in other stuff as well.
Here's something that might be hard for you to put into words, but how would you describe the creative climate in Arkansas?
Underrated, in a word. I think that there's so much good out there, and I think that's one of the main reasons we want to start the magazine. Like Cody said, is just to get the big picture of the state and say, look at our state and look at all the different things that are happening throughout it, and just watching our support our scene and watch our scene grow, and look at all of it in one place, I think.
In my opinion, the creative climate in Arkansas, it's really impressive. I've always been impressed with it. Yeah, I've always lived here, and I've lived in various places around the state, and it's just blown my mind how good people are here. And you know, the perception of our state is that, you know, it's like meth heads and rednecks and all that, and that exists everywhere. I've been to upstate New York, you know. I've seen cars on blocks outside of Binghamton, you know. There's that culture everywhere, but there's also this creative culture, and it is, like Andrew said, it's very underrated in our state. So to me, it's exciting to have this opportunity to really promote that. And like I've mentioned, it's all about bringing everybody together and getting us on the same page that we have this great creative artistic scene in Arkansas. So let's celebrate it.
Well, great. Thanks, Andrew and Cody, for talking about Idol Class.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Cody Ford and Andrew McCain are the founder and managing editor, respectively, of the magazine The Idol Class. The Idol Class issue two launch party is tonight at the Stolen Glass on Center Street in Fayetteville. The event, which is free, features music, improv, readings, and a fashion show. You can find out more at idolclassmag.com.
This is Ozarks at Large, and joining me now is Becca Martin Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
And you're hearing this Friday, but in our world, it's Thursday because I need to be out of town. And that means I have no idea what to tell you about what's going on this weekend. Not a clue.
You have things to tell us, but you should check with the event coordinators to make sure that they're still going on because a lot of things have been. I know there are a couple of things as we are talking right now that have been rescheduled.
Exactly.
Such as Touch a Truck and Horses for Healing, their golf tournament. Both of those things. So here with the disclaimer, check with these people to make sure it's still happening.
I can pretty much promise you that Rogers Little Theater will be on stage with Love, Loss, and What I Wore.
Because it's indoors.
Exactly. And it sounds like a really fun show. As someone told me when we talked about it, guys remember where they remember a moment based on the car they were driving or the music they were listening to.
I'd say that's true.
But women remember a moment by what they wore.
It's true, I do.
Do you remember, what was your first outfit like for first grade? Do you remember?
I went to a Catholic school, so we had uniforms.
Oh, you knew what it was. I remember what I wore to prom. I remember what I wore to my first high school homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
It was a red and black, really short skirt with a long vest, red and black plaid.
Mm-hmm.
Hideous. But women remember that way. And this whole play is based on that premise. That's not what the monologues are about.
Okay.
The monologues are about life and being female and love, loss, and what I wore. It's written by Nora and Delia Ephron.
Right.
So you know it's going to be honest and sometimes surprising and really interesting. And I'm very excited about it. They call it a dramedy,
okay,
which means you should laugh and cry. And the director, Joseph Farmer, says that you don't have to have a passion for fashion. He loves to entertain and he loves to be entertained. And so he tried to take the gender part out of the show and make it as entertaining as possible. And Lauren Levine, who is one of the actresses, said, well, you know, it might give men some insight about women's relationships to their clothing.
There you go.
The show opens at 8:00 Friday night and continues with shows at 8:00 Saturday and 2:00 Sunday and again next weekend. And there will be a Mother's Day special event on the 12th. Tickets are $16 for the balcony and $45 with dinner. At 631-8988. And there's a bonus to this show.
Oh, yeah?
Accessories dressing the set are going to be sold to the audience before each performance.
Oh.
With 50% of the proceeds going to the Northwest Arkansas Women's Shelter.
Well, that's really cool.
So also this weekend, and here's the disclaimer, check with the venue, because I don't know yet what it's going to do. I know it's icky and cold already today. So it's Birder Weekend at Devil's Den State Park. It's all free, and it starts on Friday and continues through Sunday. It's May Fine Arts Month in Eureka Springs, and the Art Rages Parade is scheduled for 2:00 on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Mason McGraw is the Grand Marshal.
Oh.
Sphere is supposed to open Saturday night at dusk in Basin Park. It's an installation by Robert Norman in Eureka Springs.
Mm-hmm.
Crow Johnson is supposed to come out of her semi-retirement to play at Ozark Folkways near Winslow on Saturday evening at 7. It's a new outdoor stage. Check with 634-3791. The Fort Smith Symphony is playing a Sonic Boom concert at 7:30 Saturday. That's inside the Arkansas Best Performing Arts Center in Fort Smith. Call 452-7575 to see if there are tickets available. And it's Spring Arts and Crafts Fair weekend.
Oh, it is.
Because you could schedule that in July and it would still do this.
Sure.
So, Art on the Creek is happening at Wishing Spring Gallery in Bella Vista. That's from 8 to 5 on Friday and 8 to 5 on Saturday. These will all happen. The weather's just up to you. Ozark Regional Springtime Arts and Crafts Festival is inside at the Northwest Arkansas Convention Center in Springdale. That's 9 to 7 on Friday and Saturday. Free admission and parking. Frisco Station Mall in Rogers, again, inside.
Indoors. Mm-hmm.
10 to 9 on Friday and Saturday, 10 to 6 on Sunday. Sharp's Antique Show and Craft Show, that would be across from the... Sharp's Arts and Crafts Show, that would be behind the War Eagle Mill. 250 booths outdoors, 8 to 5 on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Spanker Creek Farm Arts and Crafts Festival in Bella Vista, 8 to 5 on Friday and Saturday, 9 to 4 on Sunday. Again, that one is outdoors. So put on your raincoat and your snow boots. And what month is it again?
May, last I heard.
Okay, have fun.
Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Hello, I'm Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz every Friday and Saturday evenings beginning at 10 p.m. On the Friday edition of Shades of Jazz, we'll hear music from the master himself, Youssef Lateef. We'll also hear from Ciro Baptista, David Sanchez, Fred Freed, and much more. 2 hours of great jazz beginning at 10 p.m. That's Shades of Jazz.
Comic books are an original American art form created in the early days of the 20th century, with Superman starting the golden age of comics. They are fun to read and feature a wide range of diverse storylines that capture the imagination of readers. Libraries and comic book stores around the region will celebrate Free Comic Book Day tomorrow, May 4th, and it is also the first Saturday of May. Ozark's at-largest Christina Thomas went to the Bentonville Public Library to learn more.
Free Comic Book Day began in 2002 in an effort to reach out to those who might not read the genre, or at least haven't in years. A comic book isn't something you typically see on the shelves of a library. What they do have are graphic novels. So says Hattie Dudley. She's executive director with Bentonville Public Library. They're also called book-length comics and are meant to be read as one story. She says that many are in a series, many are classics being re-illustrated, and they aren't just for kids.
Actually, they're intended for both children and English language learners as well, adults, teenagers, people who might not want to pick up an intimidating big book for whatever reason, perhaps a learning disability, you know, whatever the reason is, but then if they can look at that and see that story played out. It's a nice way to engage their imagination, and they still get that story and they still get that learning through the graphic novel.
Comics making a push in education? Who knew? The table by which Dudley sits displays various graphic novels the library provides for patrons. Everything from Superman, Nancy Drew, Snow White, various manga volumes, Batman, Hulk, and Edgar Allan Poe and Jane Eyre.
And they do follow a very similar comic with the illustrations. Some are in color, like this Nancy Drew, and then the words that people are saying or thinking, and of course, whoosh, and that comic pow is featured in a lot of these as well.
She says the library chose to participate in Free Comic Book Day after members of the staff went to a library convention
based on another library's model and got excited about this program and really thought the public would get excited about this program at the library. So those staff members have come together and really been professional and responsive and pulled all this programming together for our Bentonville Library.
Free comics will be given away one per patron while supplies last. And they aren't used comics that someone no longer wanted.
But what's really cool is these are special editions of those comics for this year's Free Comic Book Day. So people who come in and get a free comic book that day, that's a special edition that they can keep for this year.
Diamond Comic Distributors works with companies like Marvel and DC Comics. This year, there are 52 different special editions, with something for everybody, from Smurfs and SpongeBob to Archie, Batman, and The Walking Dead. In addition to the giveaway, the library will have various programs on Saturday.
If patrons want to bring their own comics in exchange for other comics, we do have an exchange booth, and then we also have a costume contest. So patrons can dress up like their favorite hero or heroine, and we will be judging and giving prizes for that. In addition, we're also featuring local heroes. So we have a special story time with a local police officer and his canine companion at 2 p.m.
Of course, there are heroes in comic books, like Captain America, Barbarella, the Green Lantern. But why honor a real, live person?
I think it's important to celebrate our local heroes. We have great people in all of our cities across this region that are constantly serving, protecting, you know, really doing that life protection for our community members. The police department, the fire department, paramedics, they're always out there in the front line every day doing this, and they are heroes and they should be celebrated.
Bentonville Library patrons can expect a fun-filled day tomorrow from noon until 3.
I think the exciting nature of comics and kind of the universality of that sequential art is exciting, especially in this area with the emphasis we have on art in Bentonville these days.
For more information on free Comic Book Day events happening at the Bentonville Public Library, visit bentonvillelibrary.org. Fayetteville Public Library will also hold festivities tomorrow. To find a list of vendors, comic book stores in your area that are participating, just visit freecomicbookday.com. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Christina Thomas.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And with us inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio, Jamie Stone's Room of Wonders. Thank you. gentlemen. Thank you very much. Jimmy Stone's Room of Wonders here inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio. You're going to be performing throughout the weekend. And keep listening to KUAF for the exact venues. Originally, Trail Mix was going to be outside. We're going to find out more about that. Jamie, welcome.
Thank you.
It's a cliche to say that there is a band that defies easy description of what kind of music they play, but you guys defy what kind of music you play. It's not easy to categorize, and that's a good thing.
Thank you very much.
I look at the list of influences that you claim and then that I hear. It's basically, I think, you wake up in the morning and you begin absorbing.
Yes, and I've been doing that for a long time.
We should have everyone introduce themselves. Let's start here on our left here on the radio with the bass.
I'm Andrew Small.
Andrew Small on the bass.
Bobby Hawk on fiddle.
Bobby Hawk on fiddle. We've heard Jamie.
Oh, hey, Rob Mosher on the woodwinds.
Rob, you were playing multiple instruments there.
Well, I was playing the oboe for a while there, and then the oboe decided that it was going to start creating problems, so I switched over to clarinet because I didn't have time to fix it. So.
I just figured that was part of the deal.
Well, it was.
Okay.
But not by the choice of the deal.
I see. How did the four of you come together? Was it a gradual process?
It was a gradual process. I met Rob at the Banff Center for the Arts in Alberta, Canada. We were both studying with Dave Douglas and Bill Frizzell for this three-week creative music workshop for composers. And that was almost 10 years ago. And we just hit it off and have been friends and collaborators ever since. He played on my very first record. We've stayed in touch through the years. And then in the last couple of years, we started playing quite a lot. And then I had heard about Andrew and Bobby through the community of acoustic musicians that we're all friends with and part of. And then got a chance to hear them play and meet, and it was like instant chemistry. And so this group kind of came together just by happenstance at first, and then it's been a pretty special blend of sounds and approaches that we've been working on for the last couple of years.
You mentioned the blend of sounds. You do draw from a lot of different styles of music. How are you able to blend them together so that it works, so that it doesn't just sound like a disjointed mess?
Well, some of that is like, I and maybe I speak for all of us, are interested in like particular things about these different kinds of music. So I think there's a lot of fusion, as it's sometimes called, music where the kind of veneer of styles is what gets blended. Oh, it sounds like Dixieland and reggae music and this and that. And I kind of feel like we're interested in deeper aspects of the music. Like I really love the sense of improvisation and interaction and spirit of the moment in jazz. And the music doesn't really sound like jazz, but the intent is so much like jazz. And then we all love chamber music and play that as well. And so the dynamic and the sense of orchestration, I feel like, is really there. We all love folk music. And so the like clarity of melody and the kind of grit. And so I feel like we're kind of after the like heart of some of those things rather than like something that's stylistically accurate. And so I feel like in a way that's why it works, because those common qualities just make for good music in all of those different styles.
Can it be something where you're working with a composition and you suddenly there's sort of this epiphany that, oh, this kind of connects to Bach or Kurt Cobain or something else, that you'll hear this musical connection that maybe you wouldn't have heard if you hadn't been playing the instruments?
Yeah, and you know, sometimes it's really like tangential, like it's just a kind of texture of an idea in my head somewhere. You know, yesterday we did a workshop for some school kids up in Rogers, and at the end of a piece there was like a kind of fade out, and you know, I didn't want the twang or the banjo, but I wanted to participate, and I just kind of heard like, you know, what would be like the brushes washing on the snare drum at the end of a jazz ballad, and so I just went like this, and some kid asked like, what'd you do that for? You know, and I explained that I just kind of heard this thing in my head, like I was thinking about being a drummer for a second, and I think all of us do that, regardless of what instrument we play. We hear sounds, and it might be like the sound of a, you know, gamelan instrument for a second, or it might be imagining a string section where Andrew's just playing one or two notes. But like, I almost feel like there's this like hint, you know, or tip of the hat to these like much bigger traditions that kind of come out all the time.
I want to ask about you studied with Bill Frisell, who is one of the best musicians in the world. What is it like when you're working with other musicians and not just to play music, but to learn? Does your brain work differently in that sequence or no?
I mean, Bill is like a really astounding human being. Like, he just lives and breathes the same way that you hear him in his music. He's incredibly humble and quiet and sort of like awkward, but very present. Mm-hmm. And I just learned, like, in a way, my brain was just like tuned to some different airwaves, you know, when I was hanging out with him. And I just basically got to spend a couple of days. And mostly we just played. And mostly he was self-deprecating and saying like, oh man, your tunes sound great. I was sort of having trouble with them, but then he's there playing beautiful stuff, right, and kind of like beaming at you, you know, while he's playing. He doesn't ever look at himself. He's like always like making eye contact and smiling with the people he's making music with. And I just feel like I learned a lot, but nothing I could like write down on a piece of paper, you know. It was just more like a spirit about how he made music that was really affecting.
Should we hear one more?
I think we should.
Do you mind playing one more? What will we hear?
Andrea Berger.
That was Jamie Stone's Room of Wonders inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio earlier today. You can learn more at Jamie, that's J-A-Y-M-E, stone.com.
Support for Ozarks at Large comes in part from the University of Arkansas's Women's Giving Circle.
This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Jasper.
And we forgot, Christine and I yesterday forgot to name a winner for the family pack, which is four tickets to Arvest Ballpark to see the Naturals, mm-hmm. four vouchers, plus four passes to any Malco movie theater in the area. I asked about three specific cases mm-hmm. in Perry Mason because it was Law Day. Mm-hmm. Almost everyone had it right.
Oh, really?
Those were the three cases Perry Mason lost on television.
Oh.
He only lost 3 out of 300.
That's pretty good.
That's
pretty
the
good
defense,
record.
Defense lawyer you want. Many people got that correctly. The vouchers and tickets go to Sherry Keas.
K-E-A-S.
Yes, Sherry will be in touch. Thanks so much for listening. You were right. Those were the three he lost.
And I'm sorry we have to talk about this.
We had not planned to.
No, we have to talk about postponements and cancellations, not for rain, but for snow.
Yes.
Again, it is May 3rd.
All right, so first Friday tonight, canceled.
First Friday in Bentonville is canceled, done, not happening.
Right.
Let's see. Tomorrow, two events that were scheduled for tomorrow. The Junior League's Touch a Truck has been rescheduled for May 18th.
Okay.
And the Horses for Healing Golf Tournament that was tomorrow has been rescheduled for May 31st.
Okay.
So those have been rescheduled.
Spring Fest is postponed.
Spring Fest in Fayetteville,
right,
which is coming back for its 30th year.
Right. Postponed.
But we don't have a date for that yet.
Right. Now, not everything that was going to happen in downtown Fayetteville yesterday was Spring Fest. Some
right.
of it's Artisphere. Again, go to artispherefestival.org.
For more information.
Right. Foam Fest, as of we know it right now, is happening.
But they're looking to move it indoors.
Right.
So stay tuned there to, I think that's Fayetteville Foam Fest or foamfestfayetteville.com.
Right. And Trail Mix, at this point, is happening.
It is.
Indoors. Details still to come.
Trying to figure out where indoors.
Right. Artisphere Festival.org will be your clearinghouse for Artisphere Festival information. If you're unsure if something you were going to was Spring Fest or Artisphere, again, go to Artisphere Festival.org.
And Jamie, who you just heard, is supposed to be performing at Trail Mix.
Right.
Tomorrow. Where? We're still not sure.
Right.
He will be at Thorn Crown Chapel in Eureka Springs.
Monday night.
There may be a few tickets left to that.
Yeah, after hearing this, you probably want to go, especially because it's in Thorn Crown.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to hurry because we were told there were maybe
just
single digits.
A couple. Yeah, because the idea is it's a smaller venue and smaller concert, more intimate and whatnot. Again, I am sorry to everyone for this because I know everybody's very excited about it. I was excited about all the things happening this weekend, and organizers are scrambling to make sure these things still happen and whatnot. So we will keep you updated.
Yes.
And again, artistspherefestival.org, waltonartcenter.org, fayettevillefoamfest.com.
All right.
What else?
Anything else you're planning to do tomorrow that we haven't mentioned, check.
Do check.
Especially if it's outdoors.
Especially if it's outdoors.
All right. Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Thanks so much for listening. Stay warm.